Do I sound better, by the way? I have my microphone for the first time in like two months.
Yeah, you sound good.
Oh, I do? Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I can tell differences in audio quality for other reasons, but I've never really noticed the mic to make a difference. But
yeah, people have given me sound quality complaints.
Yeah.
That like sometimes I'm like low and then very high or whatever.
Well, listen, Chester's back in all his glory with all his audio capability. All right, let's get rolling. Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I think this is like the first normal episode we're doing in like 8 months. Like this is, we do half a year football, half a year other stuff. But, you know, some of the football is previews and I was there for some and you were there for some. But like this is our bread and butter. Like this is like the 17 weeks or however many weeks if you include the playoff games where we just like talk about the games. And what we saw, like, that's, like, first of all, it's the easy stuff. We don't have to, like, prepare a lot other than, like, watch a whole lifetime of football.
Yeah, well, it's not only that. This is the first time in this podcast's history that the Vikings and Jets, our teams, are both in first place.
Is that true? The Jets have started
1-0.
They have
not both started 1-0 since 2014, and this podcast started in 2015.
Wow.
So it's an exciting time. An exciting time for Vikings fans, obviously. It's an exciting time for Jets fans.
Should we like book? Because you could cancel. So should we book Airbnbs in Atlanta in February?
No, because Harry Schaefer already said I'm staying with him. So.
Oh, can he let us both? Can he let us both stay with him?
I mean, Jennifer Chester wouldn't let that happen, but maybe Harry's a little bit nicer. Yeah, so Sam is going to have to book a flight. Sam is a new Jets fan. You heard about that? Our New Zealandian listener.
No, so Sam from New Zealand picked the Jets. I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, it's not a decision I would have made, but you know, as my grandmother said, my mother said to her mother once, "Isn't Jerry handsome?" Talking about her husband, my father, and my mother looked at my grandmother looked at my father and said, "Well, love is blind." So,
ouch!
Exactly.
Shots fired.
Yeah,
at Jerry.
My grandmother.
But why would that so weird? That's such a weird thing to say. I would never say that. You know,
ask your mother if your spouse even is handsome. You're saying,
of course. Even if it was like if I was married to like Kate Upton and like Taylor Swift, I still wouldn't be like, "Hey, Ma, aren't they pretty?" You know.
Yeah, well, she was in the throes of love. You know, she was blinded, obviously.
Maybe she like wanted to be
so
reassured.
That's how, that's how Sam is feeling about the Jets, apparently, because he could have chosen any team. I'm not sure why he chose your team. One play into Monday night, he was regretting that decision. But, you know, from plays 2 to 53, I think it looked pretty good.
Sam, come to the Week 5 game, the Jets-Broncos, on October 7th, and we could hang out.
I think
out.
He did say that the flights from New Zealand was part of the calculation, so easier to get to New York. Although, probably a West Coast team would have made more sense for him. But anyhow, so Week 1, Rosh Hashanah started as the games were starting for you, and then it started as the late games were ending for me. So we both had to do a lot of chazara, as they say, a lot of retroactive research.
Yeah, neither of us were able to watch any game live except for the Thursday night game.
I watched all the early games live and the first half of the league.
Oh, yeah, you watched the games live. I wasn't able to watch the any of the.
But we both spent all of Tuesday night, Wednesday morning watching football nonstop, basically.
Yeah, I think I'm more caught up now than I would have been otherwise because I would have just been watching Red Zone. Yeah. Like I really went through everything.
No, I agree with you. I had to know what was happening in all these games. So, yeah, I spent more time watching some of the lower tier games. You know, I was very curious, for example, to see exactly, you know, like I wanted to know exactly what happened between the Raiders. Like I knew the Raiders were going to be bad, obviously, but I was surprised to see they actually jumped out to an early lead there against the Rams.
Yeah, then they were better than maybe you thought they would be. To me, that was like the game I cared least about. It was also like the last game.
But here's
like
the thing. I watched all sort of these recaps knowing the outcomes. So, for example, I see the Bears jumping out to that huge lead and DeShone Kizer on the field. But I knew that Aaron Rodgers had come back and that the Packers were going to win the game. But you did not. You, the second that Rosh Hashanah ended, I think you watched the Jets game fresh with no knowledge, right?
Yeah, I was not spoiled on any game. I even like tried not to pay attention because I watched the Monday night game first because I was
hard to not hear references to other
the
games
Jets. But I watched on condensed and I would just like rewatch a play if I wanted to see it, and they replay like big plays anyway. I watched on the condensed, which is plays only partially, so I wouldn't be spoiled on all the other games. But even when the announcers were like so inept, I'm not sure they would like know that there were games on Sunday. So it wasn't like a big deal. But like You know, if they were talking about somebody, the only thing I saw was like on a update.
Who were the announcers for the Jets game? Because one of the two Monday night games, I liked the announcers. I forget which one it was.
Beth Mowins. It's not the normal team.
No, so I thought she did good. Yeah, the female play-by-play person I liked, actually. I thought
she
was pretty good.
You really only hear on.
Oh, and she was with she was with Jason Witten. Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought they did good. I thought they both did pretty good. But I don't know.
Well, what's the main ESPN team now? I know Booger. They have Booger McFarland up in like a truck.
He's like the new Tony Siragusa.
Yeah. He's the new Siragusa.
I think, isn't it Joe Tessitore? Didn't Joe Tessitore replace Sean McDonough?
Yeah. But I thought Tessitore, then who's their main analyst? I thought it's Witten.
Yeah.
Isn't it Tessitore, Witten, and Booger? So then Beth Mowins was somebody
else.
So maybe
they split them up for Monday night. You know, I don't know.
No, they would definitely not have done that in their first telecast. But when you watch uncondensed, you don't hear the color commentator ever.
Yeah.
You maybe hear like the end
of the
voice.
Oh, they don't show replays on condensed?
One time, they do, but it's not you hear very little of the color guy. Like last year I watched the game and remember like hearing Gruden's voice in the fourth quarter and being like, oh, like I hadn't heard him the entire time until now. How about this? I ranked all 16 games for week two, and we could give any of our week one takes that we have, like as we discuss those teams. But you could make fun of my rankings. I'll start with 16. We'll go down to one. How does that sound? And next week you can
do this. Yeah, that's a very Chesterian thing you've done. I approve.
I thought maybe we could do power rankings after week one, but maybe that would be especially
stupid. I mean, I have my power rankings, so.
Okay, so you could tell me if you have anything interesting. All right, so my worst game of the week is Chargers at Bills. The Bills just announced that Josh Allen's going to be starting. I have to say, like, I'm going to give myself some props for some of the things we said during the preseason, but, like, AJ McCarron was clearly the best guy in their camp. It doesn't make any sense to me, didn't make any sense then that they traded him, and now it looks insane because Peterman should not be on an NFL team. You have to cut him. Like, I know they don't have a quarterback on the roster, but pick up anybody. Like, just pick up, you know, sign, you know, Vinny Testaverde. Like, there has to be somebody on the street better than Nathan. Everyone on the street is. Literally, if you find the guy in the street, he is better than Nathan Peterman. And Allen's not ready to start. I guess he was okay, and that game was, like, over already. But, like, I don't know what you're going to do. Like, the Chargers are going to – I don't think Joey Bosa is going to be there. Like, the Chargers are still going to annihilate the Bills. Like, how did the Bills go from a playoff team to the worst team in the NFL? By the way, if you're like Tyrod Taylor's agent, here's your pitch. If he's trying to get a new contract, like Tyrod, the team Tyrod left went from a playoff team to the worst team in the NFL, and the team he went to went from the worst team ever to a team that's getting a result in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, a result. I mean, we'll discuss that one. But they had six turnovers. They forced six turnovers.
Well, that's what you say. Yeah. That's what you say in soccer, right? Yeah, a road draw.
But it was a home game, and they forced six turnovers, and Steelers had like 12 penalties, and Cleveland still couldn't win. So I don't know if that was, you know. But again, it's the best start that the Browns have had in 14 years. So congratulations to the Browns. You know, the Buffalo Bills, it's interesting. I had them on my, you know, before week one power rankings, number 32. And this is the first time in history, but I think that the team that was number 32 in the power rankings went down the following week. Because I just, you know, it's incomprehensible how bad they are. Like last year, I think I probably had the Jets 32 before the season. And I think the Jets lost week one last year to Buffalo in a reasonably close game. But I mean, but this game on Sunday, what was the final score? 47-3 or something? And it wasn't.
Did they score
that close.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that close. They didn't score at the end.
The stupid Ravens, by the way, are going to be like pumped up by DVOA and all these rankings now for, you know, the next month because of the stupid.
Well, the Ravens always do well on DVOA for some reason. Yeah. I mean, maybe they're just good. Like maybe like Flacco's not good, but maybe the Ravens are actually.
Yeah, we
good.
Got to see both Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen in this game, so that was good news.
Is it possible that like everyone in the AFC North goes between nine, like finishes between 9-7 and 7-9?
Yeah, and the NFC East, I think that can happen.
Well, no one's finishing any of those scores because they all have ties already. But
yeah,
somewhere in the vicinity of like 7.
Yeah, I mean, I always root for ties, and that division seems to be like the big tying division. You know, the Bengals are good for a tie every couple.
Wait,
of years.
Can you explain why you always root for ties?
Just because it's confusing and because it just makes like the standing.
Oh, I thought it helps some chart of yours.
Well, no, it does because it dramatically reduces the chance of a tiebreaker. Right, you don't have to go to tiebreakers because if a team
but
is
tiebreakers,
8-7,
you don't like tiebreakers. What's the problem
with
tiebreakers?
It's complicated. Yeah, nothing. It's just more complicated.
At NBC, it was my job to sort of figure out the tiebreakers like in real time, and it was very stressful when we were live on the air. And I one time like had an argument about like a very complicated potential tiebreaker with the Bills, and like the Bills like a Buffalo the NBC station in Buffalo wanted to know something, and then I wrote him back, and then our executive producer like disagreed, and then I remember like Tuesday that week, and I like I would never get an email from the executive producer of the show. I got an email like, "Hey, you were right." And I was like, "Oh, that was great. I felt good that I won the Buffalo Bills like 18th tiebreaker argument."
All right, so we're both picking the Chargers in this game, obviously. By the way, last week you beat me. I went 10-5-1 last week. You went 11-4-1 because I picked the Giants to beat Jacksonville for some reason.
And that's straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I went 6-1 in our pick 7 pool. I went 6-1 against the spread.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah, I went 6-1 against the spread in our pick 7 pool. But yet overall against the spread, I went 8-7-1. So basically,
well, you're picking the. Listen, we were sure about the games.
I guess
we knew
so.
To stay away.
I was wrong about everything else. Yeah,
from all the other ones.
So this
and
spread
four people
is
went 7-0. So it
this
must
spread
have been
is only
easy
7.5. I guess ostensibly because Buffalo's the home team. Here's my take on the Chargers. Like, first of all, I did not understand all of a sudden in the second half of August how people were talking about the Chargers as a Super Bowl contender. Like, to me, the Chargers are like an.
You
8,
saw
8, 9,
me get higher and higher on the Chargers as the.
Well,
as
not just you, but people like. You know, I heard
either the division. I think
our Rams
even
or Chargers
under
guest.
They're over under.
Well, we didn't have a Chargers guest, so our Rams guest talked about an all LA Super Bowl, and I laughed and said to him, "Yeah, nobody's talking about that outside of LA." And then all of a sudden, people were like, "Bill Simmons was talking about it on his podcast." Although Bill Simmons is also, you know, in LA now. One of the issues I have with the Chargers, and I think it becomes clear over the course of a 16 game season, is it's really exhausting to play 16 road games, like to never have a respite. You know,
yeah,
that has to have an effect on players. Like, when well, you watch that you, game but, against
I
the
mean,
Chiefs,
play,
the crowd
like,
was 80% Chiefs fans.
Yeah, but they're literally at home. Like, it's not like they're traveling.
Yeah, like they're sleeping
like,
in
I'd
their
rather,
well, not,
I'd rather
not
have fans than play, like, a ninth game in London.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, but to have fans rooting against you, to hear, like, in your it's got to be defeating in your own home arena when the fans are rooting for the other team.
It is crazy, and I don't know how they fix it. And it is.
There's no solution. The Chargers. I don't know how long they're going to stick around LA. Presumably, at least 20 or 30 years, and it just doesn't make sense. Nobody wants them there. Nobody cares that they're there.
It is weird, and like they picked the wrong. It's funny because they're not even bad. It's not like the.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, I think if they had a normal home field advantage, I think this could be a 10-16. But I think that they're. I think they win only 8 or 9 games because I think that there's a slight disadvantage there.
I think they're used to it. They have a veteran team. Like, Phil Rivers, I don't think cares. He's never really had a great home field advantage his entire career.
Well, I don't know. I mean, their vaunted defense did not look very good in week one. So, all right, to beat the Bills.
All right, but that's definitely the worst game of the week. You agree. 15, there's a bunch of games, like, in this sort of bottom tier. I went with Houston at Tennessee just because, like, Tennessee might have Blaine Gabbert, right?
Yeah, not great for our fantasy team in the 32 fans
Not great.
League.
Yeah, our 32-team league, our quarterback is Marcus Mariota. I insisted we drafted Blaine Gabbert as his backup. You were like, nobody will want him. But there would have actually been a rush to get him this week.
I said, let's risk it and pick him up after week one. What's the odds he gets injured in week one? Well,
yeah, well, he's injured. We may have to start Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, we started 0-2, and we are very low in the standings. It's a doubleheader every week. Now, we knew, you know, when Mark Ingram is one of your top players that you take, you know that you're going to, you know, have a disadvantage first 4 weeks.
We almost had to start, like, knew we were going to start maybe 2-6, 3-5.
Yeah, I mean, but it was not ideal. Our number one receiver, Devontae Parker, does not play. And our number two receiver, Michael Gallup, had one target. So,
I was the only person on the Michael Gallup bandwagon, and I think I'm completely off. I think I'm divested of him, except
you're dropping him in like 7 different fantasy leagues today.
7 different fantasy leagues, every move I made was like drop Michael Gallup.
Except in that league, I think we actually have to keep him just because there's like literally.
I think we do keep him. Yeah. All right. So Houston, Tennessee, you agree? That's a bad game. I do need to see more from Deshaun this week, but it's a write off. You lose to New England week one. Who cares? They were a little feistier. They could have listened.
Bill O'Brien did really, really badly in New England. You know, first of all, he doesn't call the timeout at the end. You know, when the Patriots run down and spike the ball after Gronk's non-catch.
Yeah.
And that's like an obvious error. And then after the game, he's like, yeah, that's not my job. That's not my job. It is your job, idiot. And I think that quote is going to come back to bite him.
I would fire my coach if he said that.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been an O'Brien fan. You know, I
don't think Deshaun Watson's ever had a mediocre game in his career. He's either been terrible or like cartoon 600-yard Madden number.
Yeah, well, his first couple games last year, he wasn't very good. But
that's what I'm saying. He was bad, and then he like had the 3 or 4 ridiculous games. Now maybe he's back to being bad.
This is a tough game. So who are you picking?
Well, we don't know who the quarterback is, right? Like, I mean, I'll pick Houston even if it's Mariota. I yelled about this. I've yelled about this a lot, but like, I like Marcus Mariota, but he's the type of guy who's just always going to be injured. And I don't know, you know, Michael Vick style. Like, I don't know how useful that is. Maybe Jameis is better. I'm back on Jameis bandwagon. I think Jameis is better than Mariota.
But hold on a second. So Fitzpatrick has 6 touchdowns yesterday, and that makes you like Jameis more? Because Jameis might not have a job.
Yeah, that's what people are like trying to make me trade for Fitzpatrick, because I got Jameis in a bunch of fantasy leagues that are 2 QBs. The Titans, if they lose this coming week, this is a really this is their season, because they have Jacksonville and Philly the next 2 weeks. They could easily, and it's at Jacksonville, they could easily be 0-4.
Yeah, this is a team that was, this was a final eight team last year. I'm going to say Mariota plays and Tennessee wins this game.
A final eight team, again, that fired their coach. I think every single team that lost their coach lost, right? It's 7 teams or 8. I forgot it was 0-7 or 0-8. New coaches, none of them won. I'd say the hottest of hot, like, if you could be on a hot seat after one game, I'd say Matt Patricia, who we'll get to soon. But that's probably the hottest seat, but not a great start for Vrabel. Anybody associated with the New England Patriots in the past, not a great coaching debut for them.
But at least off the field, Matt Patricia, you know, has always been an upstanding citizen. So someone lines.
Did he do something bad? I don't even know.
Wait, are you joking?
What did he? Yeah,
he allegedly raped some girl in like 1995 on spring break, and this was like a huge story.
Right. No, but it was like so long ago that sort of he did not get taken down.
I'm not saying
that's like how did he? Didn't it come out while he?
It came out like, this summer. Well, I think basically the attitude that people had is, oh, you were allowed to do things like that back then. You know, we didn't care about women. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, he's not an ideal head coaching candidate for the Lions. And he did not look good in week one. All right, so we're going to disagree on that game because you're taking Houston. I'm going to take Tennessee. What's the 14th best game this week?
Well, I want to know, when's the last time a coach got fired mid-season in his first season? If you could look that up after the podcast. I don't think Patricia will do it because the Lions are definitely not one of the teams that do that. They're a Bengals-type team.
They kept Matt Millen on forever. So
yes. All right, 14th game is Cardinals-Rams. Just an abysmal game. Could definitely be the worst game of the week. I don't think the Cardinals are as bad as people are making them out. They're like 31 in a lot of power rings behind Buffalo. Like, if the Cardinals were playing the Raiders on a neutral field tomorrow, I'd pick the Cardinals to win.
I have the Cardinals 31 on my power ranking. I mean, they looked really, really bad against a not great team. I thought Sam Bradford, while healthy, would be competent. He was not.
It was not great. Johnson didn't get anything going. Like, eventually, Fitzgerald had an okay game, but like, eventually, like, he might just be old. Not great. I agree. I don't know, like, what the silver lining would be if you're Arizona. Like, a little bit of a pass rush. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe the Redskins are good. Like, maybe the Redskins are going to get that 6th slot in the NFC and playoffs, and like it's possible that the Redskins are decent. Adrian Peterson, like people are going crazy. Like again, he's like a good in fantasy, terrible in real life. He did have a really long catch, but he still ran for 3.7 yards a carry. Let's not and like he's only going to get worse. I think the most undervalued guy in fantasy right now is Chris Thompson, because there's no way Peterson's going to be useful in like 6 weeks, and Chris Thompson, especially in a PPR league, like is like every time he touches the ball, something good happens.
Yeah, but he doesn't play a full season. He plays 6 games. So,
well, he also gets hurt. That is true.
Yeah,
And also Aaron Jones is being like wildly undervalued right now. He's going to be a monster in like 2 weeks.
All right, let's rush through because these are all bad games.
Okay, fine. So yeah, I have the Rams destroying the Cardinals at home. 13 Denver Oakland. Again, Oakland played a little bit better than you thought. Denver beat a team that we're both pretty down on. I'm very down on in Seattle.
I mean, Oakland lost by 20, so I don't know how much better they played than we thought when you lose by 20 at home.
No, but it was a close game for a while. Like, the fact that they didn't get their doors blown off was okay. Yeah. They suck. Don't get me wrong. Oakland is terrible. Oakland's my 31st team if we were doing power rings ahead of, you know, Arizona or any of those teams. I think Denver is going to win this game.
I have Oakland at 30, but so not much higher.
Okay. I have Denver. What's the spread here? Like 5, I think? 5.5?
Yeah, I saw it at 5.5, which surprised me. Mm-hmm. I didn't think these teams are that much different, but
they're not, but people are just so far off. Like, something good needs to happen for the Raiders before people are willing to.
Well, you were just saying the first half of week one was good, so.
Yeah, but people will forget that. I think people realize now it's like a train wreck. They realize, like, Amari Cooper's had, like, 8 single-digit receiving games in, like, the last however many, like, that there just isn't a lot of talent there. San Francisco, Detroit. The Niners, if they weren't playing like a Garoppolo had a little bit of a misleading stat line. Like some of the interceptions were bad. His touchdown was incredible. Like I would be more happy about that one touchdown pass to Pettis than any of the picks. They were in his face all day. By the way, how do you like Sheldon Richardson?
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he was called for penalty. But
he was in. It's funny. Like it didn't show up in the stats. He hits Jimmy G on that last interception to ice the game up 8.
Yeah.
But he was in his face and affected like 12 different throws.
Yeah. The Vikings' like biggest problem last year was their pass rush disappeared in the second half of the year.
Uh huh.
So and
but
so,
now they have depth. They have guys who were like could be fresh in the second half.
Well, they've had depth. So, but Everson Griffin.
He's such a unique player, Richardson, because he's
Danielle Hunter is the guy I'm highest on that defensive line.
Yeah,
I mean he had 20 sacks in his ages 20 and 21 seasons. He was the youngest guy in the NFL 2 years ago. So, he's still only 22 years old. So I think he could have a monster season. I'm excited for him. Yeah, San Francisco.
Listen,
if
you're turning good quarterbacks into bad quarterbacks, like that's what the Eagles did last year. Like
Garoppolo on the pass to Pettis, that was just, as you said, it was an unbelievable play to escape. It was a perfect throw. It was a perfect catch. Pettis might be getting all the Marquise Goodwin love that Marquise Goodwin was getting overrated and overhyped in the preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got blue hair, Pettis. I'm not sure about that. But
that is weird. All right. So, isn't he Boise State? He's not Boise State, is he?
Oh, is that one? Well, his dad was Gary Pettis, who played for like the Tigers for a while.
Yeah, he was a double A in Stratomatic speed. You never played Stratomatic, right?
No, but he was a very good center fielder.
You do know what Stratomatic is?
Yes, of course I know what it is.
Were you too cool for it?
No, it was just
I played.
I played? And
what?
Obviously, I kept like detailed box scores of every game because that's what I do. I don't even know what it was called, but it was a game where like each player was like a circular disc. It was like a baseball card, but it was a circle.
Yeah,
and you'd put it in the thing and you'd spin it.
It was
you know
the
spinning thing. And one was a home run. Yeah, it was like the blue plastic field.
Yeah, I had all these things.
I had that game. I used to play that endlessly.
Niners Detroit. The Niners are. I'm obviously going to pick them. Detroit's
not
nearly as bad.
Mickey Tendleton, by the way, one of my favorite guys in that game.
Yeah. Detroit's not nearly as bad as they looked. They're going to be able to fling the ball over the field. Like they really have three good receivers. There might not be another team that has three good receivers like they do. And I think Kerryon Johnson's good. I think he might be like...
The Rams have three better receivers.
Huh?
The Rams have three better receivers.
Cooks, Woods, and... I think Cooper Kupp is not as good as Kenny Galladay.
I don't know. Yeah. The Chiefs.
No, I mean, they're fine. The Rams are good.
A lot of teams do. Detroit. I don't know. I mean, if Matthew.
Who's your third receiver? Treadwell.
Well, I was talking about Kyle Rudolph, but you know, whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a tight end. I'm not counting tight end.
Well, he's a third receiver. Yeah. I would say that if Stafford throws 5 interceptions a game, this team's gonna be in a lot of trouble.
It's that's probably not gonna work out. I think Kerryon Johnson's good. I actually think they will have they will bounce back. You have to be nervous.
They haven't had a running game this decade. Why are you assuming they're going to have one all of a sudden?
Well, first of all, he's a good pass catcher.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A weird game for Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I think they lose that game like 10 times out of 10. I just think they had nothing. Like, they got you know, a couple bounces. Like, the Jets clearly had an interception at the end of the first half that the referees did not even review, which is weird, where on tape it was an interception. They recovered a fumble of a Jets interception.
Yeah,
like you could argue the Lions were lucky,
and they got a first down on that play.
Yes.
All right. So picking San Francisco at home.
Yeah, San Francisco. But I don't like. I don't think the Lions are going to make the playoffs at this point, especially if they lost what's on paper.
Well, we never thought they were. But they were never going to make the playoffs in the NFC.
No, I agree. But we thought they would be 8-8. I still think that's possible. That's all I'm saying. My 11th best game is New Orleans-Cleveland, only because, to me, Cleveland is an interesting team at this point.
New Orleans, first of all, New Orleans has already shown that they can lose to any garbage team at home, and
they
as our Saints fan...
By the way, if New Orleans had, on paper, the easiest schedule in the NFL to open the... You know, can't have two easier games than Cleveland and Tampa at home. If they lose, and to Tampa's backup...
Yeah.
And to what might be the second best quarterback on Cleveland. Like, we could look back in 6 weeks and be like, oh, my God, New Orleans not only played Cleveland, they played Tyrod and Baker's much better.
Is it possible that for the second year in a row, in, like, the beginning of our NFL preview process in early August, I made a hot take, which was correct, and then I backed off like a wuss and I ended up looking like an idiot? Because
What was your hot take?
Well, last year, early on, I was all on the Eagles. I said they were going to win the division. And then by the time it was, like, September and the season was starting, I backed off and had the Eagles win, like, 8-8. This year... Mm-hmm. I was the opposite on the Saints. In early August, I said the Saints were going to go 8-8. I said the Saints were not going to make the playoffs. And then by the time, you know, the season rolled around, I had the Saints number 4 and number 5 in my power rankings. And I said, oh, yeah, they're going to, you know, I actually picked Atlanta to win the division, but I had the Saints easily making the playoffs. So maybe I was right about the Saints because that defense, now, granted, the defense looked really bad last year in weeks 1 and 2, and then they looked mm-hmm. better. But then again, last year in weeks 1 and 2, they played Minnesota and New England. They didn't play Cleveland. I mean, Tampa Bay with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So
not an ideal start for my Super Bowl champion pick, but
yeah.
I think.
Oh, that's true.
Breeze looked incredible. Breeze looked amazing.
Yeah, of course.
Forget how good Breeze is. People yeah, like Breeze was slipping this year. I'm not eighth or ninth quarterback picked in fantasy.
I'm not concerned with New Orleans'
Breeze.
Offense. The question is, how do they allow Ryan Fitzpatrick to do what he did?
I don't know. Maybe they just weren't ready.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, look at who this team has. I mean, Peyton Barber's their running back. I mean, this team stinks.
Yeah. Tampa. You know what I would want? I want the Saints, if they have another bad game this week, like if they actually let Tyrod Taylor move the ball, which I don't think is going to happen, yeah. Bring in Rex. I want Rex to be like an in-season defensive coordinator. They showed they're willing to do it. They brought Mike Westhoff, like a special teams coordinator, like last year, yeah. just in the middle of a week because they were so unhappy with their special teams. Like,
yeah, but how but great when Rob Ryan was there, the Saints had the worst defense in the NFL.
You want the better Ryan. Like, Rex, yes, Rex will bring Rob as, like,
yeah,
is Rob working in football
the better,
now?
The better Ryan is Buddy, and he's underground, so.
Oh, boy. Yikes.
I'm taking Cleveland. I'm taking New Orleans to win, obviously, but I'm taking the points here because New Orleans has not shown that they deserve another 9-point spread.
Yeah, maybe he was a little bit overpromoted. Like, by the way, Rob Ryan, so he's like, he gets jobs, the Raiders, Browns, Cowboys. Eventually, he can only work for his brother. But, like, and he's totally out of the NFL. Like, nobody will even hire him now as linebackers coach. It's kind of crazy if you think about it. The NFL needs the Ryan brothers back. That's all I'm saying. Saints are going to win this game. The Tyrod Taylor, the thing is, you could love him on paper. When he's down 14, there's like very few quarterbacks in the NFL you're less confident or bring you back from 14 down. Even though, like Josh Gordon now, as like the number 2 receiver, even though he only had one catch, a touchdown, is pretty frightening like proposition, especially if they could get Callaway or Higgins also had a touchdown going.
Yeah, and there's no better team to do it against than New Orleans. So let's see what Cleveland's offense can do this week.
How about this? If Tyrod does nothing again, because Tyrod really did nothing. Like the defense almost single-handedly stole the game for the Browns. Like Myles Garrett basically put the team on his back and almost like scored. You know,
yeah, he looks good. Maybe we need to have a Browns perspective on this podcast because I'm really curious. How do Browns fans feel about the game? Steelers fans obviously feel like it's a loss. Because they mm-hmm. should be humiliated. But do Browns fans feel like it's a win because, you know, it's the closest they've gotten in 2 years?
Right, lost because they won the turnover battle. Did you see that stat that they've now, there have only been 5 teams that have, that have won the turnover, would they win the turnover battle
five.
By 5 or 6?
Plus 5.
Plus yeah. 5. 5 teams and did not ever that have done it, and 3 of those teams were the Browns. Yeah. The new Browns.
They were the first team since 1954 to force 6 turnovers, have an opponent have 12 penalties, and not win a game. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm picking the Saints, but I actually think you could make a case that game is like the 4th most interesting game because both those teams are really sort of, desperate for.
Yeah, I mean, I still have the Saints at 6th in my power rankings just because, like, there's, I don't know who to, you know, who do you put above them? You know, Pittsburgh can't go above them with the way they
obviously
play.
The Jets are, should
right?
be above
Atlanta
them.
Can't go above them. They lost. Yeah, the Jets, of course.
Yeah. All right. Philly at Tampa. I don't know why this is 10. I guess it's like, is Tampa real? Like, this becomes a super interesting story if Fitzpatrick plays well again. Like, I don't know how you'd take him out if he's playing great. Jameis, by the way, would be wonderful in that locker room if he's a backup. Like, no better guy to have sulking on the bench than Jameis Winston.
Yeah, he's going to eat those W's from the bench. I would be interested to see what happens. So you were rooting for Tampa to start 0-4, right?
Yes.
Fired Dirk Cutter. That was your prediction in the preseason. I'm rooting for them to keep winning. If they're 3-0...
Well,
if they're 3-0, I don't think that Jameis can take over. I think Fitzpatrick's got to keep the job.
I almost think if you're Fitzpatrick, you want Jameis to take over. Like, he's already getting paid. Like, this
is
your
last
job. Yeah, you
just want
to
cash a check
at
this point. Yeah, exactly.
Like, Josh McCown clearly does not want to play. Like, these are the same
situation. You're not winning a Super Bowl with this team. You know, the best case scenario is that you don't get injured, and the best way for that to happen is that you don't play. So,
well, the best way for him to get injured is this game. Like, this is the game that Jameis should miss, because the Eagles are going to put Fitzpatrick on his head a bunch of times.
Yeah. Well, Fitzpatrick likes to dive head first anyways and do, you know.
I mean, Foles
before,
was so bad.
For a guy from Harvard, he makes the stupidest decisions.
The Eagles at this point are only pass rush. Like, yeah, Ajayi played well. Like, Ajayi maybe is good. But, like, the Eagles are all pass rush at this point.
Yeah, and if Carson Wentz doesn't come back soon, I think the Eagles win this division with 8 or 9 wins. I mean, that division is garbage.
Oh, no, you're sleeping on the Redskins. I think the Redskins can. I'm not saying they definitely will. Redskins definitely can't get to 9. Alex Smith is good. Alex Smith is a really good player.
Kirk Cousins was good also.
Our children, I mean, the NFL won't exist, but if they're reading like an NFL
Who are their offensive weapons? Josh Dotson? Adrian Peterson is
40
years old?
Who are the Eagles? Alshon Jeffrey's gone. Who are the Eagles' offensive weapons?
I just said the Eagles are going to win 9 games if Nick Foles is playing.
Chris Thompson is a dynamo. He's the best running back in the NFC.
If Chris Dotson plays 16 games, I'll buy a Chris Thompson jersey.
Okay. That's such a boring jersey. Thompson. I guess it could like be renewed if they get another. All right.
Also, I don't want to have a racist. Well, I guess there's no racist logo on the jersey, right?
Yeah, I think it's still a racist jersey.
Yeah, probably should.
It's got like the logo on it. Jets Dolphins is my 9. These are 2-1-0 teams. I do think because it's so clear the Bills are going to suck, there is a spot very similarly to the Redskins situation in the NFC East. There is definitely a spot at one of these, you know, a chance for one of these teams grabbing that 6th spot in the AFC East if just feasting on like the Bills and if one of these teams were to sweep the other team. Like,
I mean, look, Tennessee and Buffalo made the playoffs in the AFC last year. The bottom of the AFC playoff race is wide open because everybody sucks.
Yeah. Listen, if you look at the Jets schedule, like they have 2 games against the Bills and a game against the Browns and a game against the Vikings. That's a gimme lock game and the Colts at home. Like there's enough easy games. And, Dolphins have an almost identical schedule. Listen, the Jets are obviously not as good as they looked last week. Something was clearly amiss. Some people, you know, Darren Lee claims that they stole the signals. I'm not totally buying that. We were talking about that before the podcast. But Darnold looked really good. Like, even though his numbers, like, okay, fine. His completion percentage was really good. He looked incredibly good. Like, he had one atrocious play, and he only had one more bad throw the rest of the game. I was not nervous after the interception. I was nervous about them winning, but I also said, I'm sure you agree with this take, like, I was only concerned with how Darnold looked. Like, I would have rather the Jets lose 34-24, but Darnold looked great, than win 10-9, and Darnold looked bad. I think that was obvious to me. Like, the only thing I was concerned about was, like, does Darnold look good? It's funny, because you look back at, like, the old New York Post from, like, the last decade, and there were identical covers for Geno Smith and Mark Sanchez after their first game because they both won their first game. Like, a star is born.
So did they do that this time?
I think one beat the Bucks, one beat the Falcons. He didn't get a star is born. He got, like, Sam I Am or something. Or Wham Bam, Thank You Sam, I think. but I think I'm going to pick the Jets at home here, but they're pretty even.
Did you see the New York Post cover related to the Beatles revelations today?
Yeah. I did see that. The Jets, the problem is the Jets are allow a pass rush and have the worst pass rush in the league. That's sort of their
The one thing people need to slow their roll is I'm reading these articles about how the Jets have a top 5 defense now. Like, please, let's not like start like
no, they let Kenny Golladay run wild in the secondary. I'm not buying that. Stafford threw the ball to them most of the time. It wasn't like they were, and again, they didn't get in Stafford's face. Like, Stafford didn't have to shower after the game.
All right, let's make a pick. I'm picking your Jets to start 2-0.
Yeah, I'm picking the Jets, but not with a huge degree of confidence. My 8th best game is the Sunday nighter. Giants-Cowboys, 2 desperate teams. The Giants look totally good. It's a respectable
And by the way, this game is only
8th
best because of sort of the legacy of the NFC.
Yeah, 100%.
These are 2 bad teams. The Cowboys are bad. Yeah. The Giants, I mean, what a kick in the balls because, like, you know, they weren't going to drive down the field and score a touchdown in less than 2 minutes against the Jaguars defense. But to not even get the chance.
Wasn't it like 45 seconds?
But to not even get the chance. Didn't matter. To fumble the punt return is, you know.
Yeah, but they weren't going to do anything. Eli was going to throw an interception on the next play. We've seen that story before.
Probably, yeah.
Listen, you have to be enthused if you're the Giants. Like, Barkley is exactly what you thought, even against that amazing
defense. He did nothing
defense.
Until that one play.
But that's the hardest matchup he's going to have all year.
Yeah, probably.
And he still made a great play again. Like, he made those guys miss. Like, all he has to do, if he does that once a game, he's a good running back.
If he runs a 60-yard.
Dallas sucks. Yes, Dallas sucks. Yeah. They don't even have an offensive line anymore. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would you rather have, going forward, today, Dak Prescott or Sam Darnold? Because you're a Dak guy. So if I had made you make
not as much as Bill
right
Barnwell.
Now.
Bill Barnwell's been going to war with people like in the Dak Prescott Carson Wentz argument.
Yeah, Bill Barnwell is really pro Dak.
I would say honestly it depends on the contract situation. Dak is due for $100 million contract next year.
Yeah, Dak's gonna get paid.
And so for that reason, I think you have to go with Darnold.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not really fair to evaluate them because
Darnold's got 5 years on a rookie deal. So
yeah. All right, but
Dak,
I'm picking the Giants to win that game. The Cowboys I'm gonna
pick Dallas.
They're terrible. They're bad. The Giants are fine. The Giants have so many weapons. They're not a good team, but they have
tons
of weapons.
Yeah, we discussed this.
The Cowboys
How many
have no
teams have better them. Offensive skill position guys, like wide receiver, running back, tight end? I mean, it's the Vikings,
Chiefs,
the Rams.
Although Hunt's
the
overrated,
Chiefs.
But
there's not that many.
Not that many.
Yeah, the problem with the Giants is everything else.
There might be none. There might literally be none, because Barkley could end up being the best running back, and Odell might be the best receiver. Like, there might be none. And Ingram didn't do anything, but Ingram's a good tight end.
I'm going to take the Cowboys to win this game. I think, look, the Cowboys' defense still looked good against Carolina. Cam had a couple runs, but that was about it.
But, like, they have the every single receiver.
The Cowboys
are
a 3-13. They're 3-13 team. They're still, like, you know, a 7-9-8-8 team, so.
I mean, this is like their healthy version. They suck. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's why I have it 8, because both these teams are
sort of taking the Cowboys for the same reason I'm taking Tennessee, which is if you can't win this game at home against your division rival, your season's over. So.
Yeah. And by the way, Garrett, like, I know he never gets fired, but, like, the pressure on Garrett at 0-2 if he loses at home to the Giants on Sunday night is going to be – he's going to be the hottest hot seat in the league, especially now that Cutter's off the hot seat and Hugh Jackson didn't lose. Like, this is the hottest
hot seat. That seat's not getting hot. Jerry Jones is not firing him. Jerry Jones doesn't want a coach who wins. Jerry Jones wants a coach who's pliant, right? That's why he got rid of Jimmy Johnson.
You know what? You could hire a new coach who's pliant who probably costs less money. Anyway, Seventh game of the week. People might be surprised it's this high, but I think it will be a really interesting shootout, and that's Washington-Indianapolis. Smith and Luck have had an absolute
garbage.
No, this is a good game. It's a good game. No, I'll tell you why. The Colts need a win. I think the Redskins probably will win this game, can really put themselves in a great spot here, especially like – If Wentz and Alshon are not coming back for like 6 weeks, which seems inherently possible, Washington could really build a lead in the division. Luck and Smith had played one of the all-time
games. Do you remember my prediction was that Washington would win the division if Wentz was out? Remember I said that?
But listen, we knew Wentz would miss three games.
If Wentz is playing, Washington's winning six games. So somehow Washington is going to lose games against other teams.
Lose games that have nothing to do with Carson Wentz.
But they'll win this game.
It was nice to see that Luck is back and Luck is
good again. Luck was fine. You know, the final score, they lost by 11, but, you know, they were in the red zone to win. And then, you know,
Well, they also lost to a crazy play, but they also lost to a not great team.
Yeah. And by the way, like, why was he trying to return? I don't know why Fedgelin, whatever
players
his name
never
was.
Think. Listen, at the end of the day, like, you have to look out for yourself.
Just fall on
and,
the
like,
ball.
That looks good on your tape. Of course, he should have fallen on the ball. But he probably wasn't starting that play thing. What do I do if I?
Maybe he took the over. Maybe he took Cincinnati to cover. Who knows?
Yeah. That is possible. Gambling is legal now in a lot more states. All right, this game is 6, but it's also boring as hell. Atlanta, Carolina. Atlanta to me is so boring. I think if they don't move the ball here, I'm 98% sure Steve Sarkisian is going to get fired after this.
Well, so there's a couple things. First of all, their defense is a lot of trouble, right? Because Deion's injured.
They lost two players.
Yeah. On offense, though. And Bill Barron was talking about this on Twitter. If they fire Sark, who are they replacing him with?
Right. Knapp has a lot of offensive coordinator
experience. When you
fire a
coordinator midseason, it never gets better.
Maybe for Jim Bob Cooter 2 years ago for the Lions, it did. It saved their season, didn't it?
Well,
no,
teams
have done it before.
We saw Jim Bob Cooter on Monday night.
Did the Ravens
win
the Super Bowl the year they fired their coordinator?
Yeah, the Ravens that year. Yeah.
And Sark, I mean, I guess Sark's proof of what you're saying, that Sark got promoted for the OC job after Lane Kiffin left, literally for the national championship game, which he basically ruined for Alabama. Yeah, Carolina. Listen,
this
Carolina,
line surprised me. I guess 3.5. Mm-hmm. This line was 5.5. Like, why is Atlanta so much better than Carolina?
Yeah, that's why I pick Carolina in like every pool. Just because
you're picking Carolina to
the
win
line
this
made
game?
No sense. No, but with 5.5 points, 5.5 points is an insane line. It made no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm picking Atlanta to win, but I'm picking Carolina to cover. I think it's a close game.
I'll pick Carolina to cover, and I'm also going to pick them to win. Why not? They're better. My fifth best game of the week
is
the Thursday night game, Baltimore-Cincinnati. It's really not a great game, but it's 2-1-0 teams.
Baltimore-Cincinnati ahead of Carolina-Atlanta?
Because those teams put me to sleep.
And Baltimore and Cincinnati are exciting teams.
Oh yeah, Cincinnati the most boring team in the league. And Joe Flacco. Listen, it was Flacco Dalton who could shut off the TV.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't know why this game is fifth, but one of these teams is going to be 2-0.
Congratulations.
I mean that's exciting. Like the Steelers aren't.
But I was proud of myself. I picked this line exactly. I said it'd be a pick, and it was a pick. It started as a pick.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pick the Ravens. I think the Bengals aren't that good.
All right, so this is the fourth game where you're picking a road team in a divisional matchup. I'm going to pick the home team.
Yes.
I think I don't think the Ravens are nearly as good as we said. I think
you know the reason why I know this game shouldn't have been fifth is because I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Let's move from Thursday night to Monday night. My fourth best game is Seattle at Chicago. I think
another
game
Chicago was two mediocre non-playoff teams.
Okay. But you know what? Seattle is an absolute must-win game, and I really want to say, like, I think Chicago right now is a compelling team for the first time in a bunch of years because I really want to see what Trubisky has coming out off that loss.
Trubisky looks Chicago really bad. He stunk.
I think you
great
need
for the first half.
I mean, Khalil Mack is going like may actually murder Russell Wilson in this game.
Yes,
there were a lot of games with like teams just. We said this in the preseason. Like the defensive lines look better than the O lines, and you saw that. Like you know, T.J. Watt just at will sacking Tyrod, and Von Miller getting to Russell Wilson all game long. And like I think this could be one of those games. Like I think Khalil Mack could go absolutely bananas in this game, and I think it'll be interesting. One of these teams is going to be 0-2, and they're going to be in big trouble. I agree; these are two teams that are not supposed to make the playoffs. So,
yeah, you know who's going to be 0-2? Seattle, and nobody cares.
Okay, KC, Pittsburgh.
Who are you picking?
Are
you picking Chicago also?
What's the line? I'll pick Chicago to win.
Yeah, the line's 3.5.
So people probably pick Chicago there.
People think Chicago's. I'm not picking.
Yeah, I think they're pretty even.
Yeah,
but I don't think Wilson's going to have a second to throw the ball all game. KC at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is in a big win situation also. KC looked incredible in week one. Just like let's not overreact, but they looked insane. Like Tyreek Hill won the game in the first minute, basically.
Yeah, but let's not forget like KC's offense is really good, but their defense is really bad.
Yeah, their defense isn't great. Hunt didn't do anything. Sammy Watkins is the most overrated player in the NFL. He's useless.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins is a slightly skinnier Kelvin Benjamin. Let's not go crazy about Sammy Watkins. It's true. Sammy Watkins sucks. People are like, oh, do you want to like? I've got five good receivers. Do you want to trade for Sammy Watkins? Sammy Watkins is a good receiver.
He's a great downfield threat. He's not. He's gonna have.
He was built in a factory to look like a good receiver, but he sucks at football.
He'll have a 60-yard touchdown every fourth game.
Yeah, and then he'll go 2 for 14. The other three games.
Pittsburgh. Honestly, and I've been saying this for years, Ben Roethlisberger is a totally different player at home than on the road. So I'm not too concerned about what we saw in week one. You know, James Conner did
it is the strangest thing in football, other than Stafford losing to every good team ever, like the Jets last week, in that Roethlisberger is never good on the road.
Yeah.
I had to start him in a fantasy league last week, and like I knew he'd be bad, and he sucked.
Yeah. No, he did give you 350 yards, but he had three interceptions.
So. But he was like bad in real life.
Yeah, well, listen, Pittsburgh, and this line shocked me. I thought Pittsburgh would be favored by 3. I thought these teams are, you know, based on week one reactions, I thought people think they're about even, although obviously going into the season, Pittsburgh was better. It's still Pittsburgh by 5, so people are still giving the Steelers a lot of respect.
Yeah, people are, like, nervous to overreact to the Chiefs maybe, but the Chiefs are good.
You're picking them to win outright, aren't you? Didn't you tell me that?
Well, so by the way, the great segment we had planned for this year was picking Survivor and Anti-Survivors for the pool. Unfortunately, we had six entries combined, and 5 of them are already gone. So the only entry we have left is your
Anti-Survivor.
Your Anti-Survivor, and I gave Rob Survivor and Anti-Survivor, and he is still alive in Survivor.
Okay,
one of the two he's alive, and
So I think Kansas City is the anti-survivor pick here this week because
it's crazy because they could win.
Yeah, but you're in a pool where you have to pick, 21 teams to win, right?
Yeah.
Because you got to pick every week, and then starting week 12, you pick two teams. And this is a league with tons and tons of people, so you don't survive if you make it to week 9. You got to go all 17 weeks. So you got to pick playoff-caliber teams to lose.
We're repping Miami. Is that game too much of a toss-up?
No, because if you want to pick Miami, you pick them at New England. You don't pick it at the Jets.
Right, you pick them at New England. True. What about Arizona? You think you're going to use them? Like, at L.A., I would almost be comfortable using them. I know that there are other scenarios you want to lose them, but, like, isn't this the hardest game of the year at L.A.? I think you should use Arizona. But listen,
I'm looking at Arizona's schedule now. Arizona has to play. No, they have to play at the Vikings. They have to play at Kansas City, at the Packers.
Yeah, but this is, like, one of the worst teams at one of the best teams. Why not just use it now? Like, that's the scenario you use it. There's never going to be a better scenario.
Well, KC, I mean, the only other game you would pick it for KC is, well, actually, they're going at New England and at the Rams also. But they've won in New England before. So, actually, no, I'm picking KC here. I think Pittsburgh really needs to
win. KC is, by the way, you might be the only person to pick them. Like, kudos to you. Or maybe there's, like, 1,500 people left. So, there might be a few, but not statistically relevant amount of people. But that's a ballsy pick. All right, but Kansas I have KC winning. Definitely have KC covering.
Okay.
Yeah. My second best game of the week is. You could go. There's two games here that are just absolutely elite games. You could go either way. I have Minnesota Green Bay 2, New England Jacksonville 1. I'm fine if you have the other ones, but I also think there's a little bit of a storyline because the AFC Championship game was so interesting last year. And also, this could be DeShone Kizer, and then it goes from the second best game of the week to the 16th best game of the week.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's the crazy thing. I thought that, you know, coming into the season, the Vikings and Packers had the same over-under, so I thought people were still giving the Packers respect. I thought the Packers would be favored by 2.5. Sal and Bill thought the same thing, 2.5 and 3. The Vikings are favored on the road with Aaron Rodgers playing.
Well, is he playing?
Yeah, he said he's playing.
And is he healthy? Like, is he healthy?
He looked pretty damn healthy in the fourth quarter against the Bears. I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely picking the Packers to win this game. I hope the Vikings will, but to go into Lambeau and beat
How do the
Rodgers?
Packers not have a better backup when Rodgers gets injured every year? Like, I understand, like,
they traded for DeShone Kizer. Like, that's the upgrade.
He's terrible. DeShone Kizer sucks.
Yeah, he's very bad.
And he's, like, the worst guy to sit and learn from Rodgers because he thinks he's better than Rodgers.
Yeah, he said every other quarterback in the league would, like, draft.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, oh, boy.
So, who are you picking in this game?
Minnesota. I'm picking Minnesota regardless of who's playing.
So I think that's like the fifth road divisional underdog that you're picking.
That is a really good game, though. Like, if it's Rodgers, that's like for a 1 o'clock game on week two, that's an insanely good game.
Well, they can't put every Vikings-Packers game on national television. Like, you know, they'll do it once a year.
And obviously the national game is past Jaguars. And also, like, the CBS is so starved for elite teams.
To me, New England at Jacksonville is a better game than Minnesota at Green Bay. Because, first of all, we're going to see Minnesota and Green Bay again later in the year. New England at Jacksonville.
By the way, it's a really good – this is, like, the only of the first 4 weeks because of the Jewish holidays where we could just watch every single game. And every national – like, Baltimore-Cincy, like, all right, it's not the most exciting game, but it's, like, a competent game between 1-0 teams. Then at 1 o'clock you have – or like a massive slate. There's like 9 games at 1 o'clock, including Minnesota-Green Bay, but there's other good games. I'm only going to be watching the Jets-Dolphins, but, you know, and Pittsburgh-Casey's also at 1. Then at 4,
that's a great game.
You have 4 games, but the Patriots-Jaguars will be the national game. But there's other, you know, San Francisco-Detroit could be interesting. And then you have like Giants-Dallas and Seattle-Chicago. It's a really good weekend.
Yes,
agree. Football, it's crazy that we're like willingly live the rest of the year when there's like 17 amazing weeks of football. Like we should just walk around. I mean, I guess we do. We don't realize it, but like there is nothing. There is nothing the rest of the year. Like football, the 20 weeks of football, like let us like live the other 32 weeks of the year.
The amount of excitement you have in your life because of Sam Darnold right now is really incredible.
It is true. I don't know what I'm going to do if Darnold's really good because I've never had a good quarterback. I don't know how to act if you have a good quarterback.
Well, you had a good year from Vinny, and you know you had good years.
We have 2 games this week. Like, the Jets play Thursday night also. Like, Darnold could be 3-0 in a week from tomorrow. He'd probably be 1-2, but he could be 3-0.
Oh, the Jets are Thursday night in week 3, you're saying? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Jets-Browns. It's a must-watch game. That's going to be the number 1 if we do these power rankings next week. All right, so Patriots-Jaguars. The Patriots are amazing.
Where would you put Jets in your power rankings at this point? Because I moved them all the way up to 22. But they're still 22.
About there. Okay. In the 20 to 22 range. They might have a really good secondary. They actually, I was yelling about this and you laughed at me. They have really good receivers. Like Jermaine Kearse, who was their best receiver last year, didn't even play. Like Robbie Anderson is one of the better deep threats in the league.
He had one catch.
Open on every play.
And Unwall looks pretty good. But Detroit also
one throw
stinks.
They stink, but like Unwall was the Jets are the only team in the league that have 4 guys with 800 yard receiving seasons. Like even Pryor is a 4th receiver is pretty good. He's fast. He can get open.
I mean, he was a 4th receiver in Washington last year, and he was worthless.
Well, he was the one receiver who was demoted to 4 because he sucked.
Yeah. So, all right, who are you picking, New England Jacksonville? I'm going to pick the Patriots.
I'm going to pick the Patriots. What's the line here? It's Patriots
by 2.
By 3? By 2?
Oh, I saw by 2.
Next week we'll guess the lines again. It was just too hard. You know, we didn't get into this till Wednesday.
Well, so I in week 1 I was very, very off. I got killed by Bill and Sal, and Sal always stinks. Mm-hmm. Week 2, I made a little bit of a comeback, and I just edged Bill, and Sal was a distant third place again. So I'm 1-1 on the season.
Sal's like so into gambling, but he's not like super knowledgeable about football.
Yeah. When you make Bill
Simmons
look knowledgeable.
Simmons knows nothing, but like Simmons knows way more than Sal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sal doesn't know what a survivor pool is. For like the 10th year in a row, they had a conversation where Sal had no idea what a survivor pool
is. And they
also
don't call it a survivor. They call it an eliminator pool.
That's fine. Because I think that's what they call it on ESPN for like 10 years. Okay. Like the fake.
Since we're copying them and discussing them, can we do our father's corner now?
Oh, sure. But you didn't tell me or I would have had something planned.
Well, I had like the ultimate rooster blocking by my son on Saturday night at like midnight, you know, trying to move things in a certain direction. And all of a sudden we hear a noise. What?
No, what keep going. No, everyone, it's fine. Everyone finished throwing up. Keep going.
Well, how did you know that's what happened? All of a sudden at midnight, Kobe, my son who's fast asleep, starts projectile vomiting everywhere.
Oh, no. That's a mood killer. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you the vomit cleaner upper in your house? Because I am.
No, it's a two-person operation.
Oh, I am famously not especially useful in like I'd
in
say,
anything. Yeah, in
like
life.
Parenting department or any aspect of life. I'm
except
I'm
podcasting.
Even then I'm not great. But like I'm better than my wife probably at podcasting. But
I hope
she's better than me at everything, and she's very self sufficient and doesn't want me to like. She'd rather do it herself than me do a bad job or something. But I have to clean up all the throw up.
But okay, but like the kid vomits, so one person has to take the kid in the bath, and the other person has to take the sheets. Or you're doing all of that.
Well, no, I don't cheat. No, come on. I don't even know where the laundry room is. Like, obviously I'm not washing sheets. Let's not go crazy.
Oh, because I did that part.
Picking up, getting the vomit off the floor.
I know. She did the kid. I did the cleanup.
I don't want any piece of the kid. The kid just threw up. Like, and also the kid is usually crying for their mom. You don't have any kids who like you better than your wife, do you?
My oldest and my youngest like me more. The middle one, Kobe, likes her more.
That's crazy. I don't have any kid. Like, I'm not even second in it for any of my kids, but none of my kids. That's insane. Wow.
So yeah, I mean, look, obviously
that must bother your wife.
Well, the first one, it's because you know she had him in residency and she never saw him his first like 2 years of life. The third one, I don't know. He's a carbon copy of his oldest brother. But yeah, so look, it's not a hot take. Obviously, the kids, you know, kids are rooster
blockers.
When do
you guys think Chester's gonna have his fourth kid? Yeah, I keep going.
Look, I mean, I could be making this up because I know nothing about science, but it might be like, do kids have like an evolutionary desire to like be rooster blockers? Because like, you know, they're born and then they don't want the resources in their parents to be distracted by more kids.
Mm-hmm. No, I think kids are dumb and they think it's fun to have more siblings.
When a child is born, like medically speaking, like you're literally blocked for like, you know, several weeks while there's healing going on. So, but yeah, but like the vomit at midnight was really like, you know, we were like sitting together and things were going in a good direction and then they did not go in a good direction. So thank you, Kobe.
I can't top that story. You should tell me beforehand if we're going to have a parent corner.
Oh, I'm going to support a take that you said to Rob that he disagreed with, which is E.T. You said E.T. is scary.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to strongly agree with you, and I have evidence, which is when I was a kid, my perm costume, I had an E.T. mask, and it was like, it was like really good quality. It looked like straight out of the movie. And I remember that I was wearing it at synagogue for like the Megillah reading on Purim. And there was this 2-year-old kid who, fun fact, that kid grew up to be a star in a Coen Brothers movie. Mm-hmm. The kid was like crying endlessly when I had the mask on. And then I would take it off and he'd see it was my face and it'd be calm. And then I'd put it back on and he'd cry again. So yeah, so E.T. is scary.
E.T. is scary. Yeah. My best parent corner thing is like my kids yelling inappropriate lyrics, but I think I just discussed this on Robin Kiyunita podcast. Yeah.
Do you?
But it is.
You've seen A Serious Man, right?
Yeah, but I don't remember it.
So there's a scene at the end of the movie where the son, who's at his bar mitzvah at shul, he goes into the bathroom and smokes a joint with another kid. So the other kid he's smoking with is Portno, is the kid I'm talking about, when he was little, Menachem, he was 2-year-old and he was afraid of E.T. And then when he was older, a teenager, he was smoking fake marijuana in a Coen Brothers movie. So,
who was cool enough at their bar mitzvah to be smoking weed? Not me.
Yeah, not me either.
Also, like, my daughter's 12. If she starts smoking pot next year, I'm going to just jump out of the window and kill myself. Like, if I have to deal with, like, drug use when I'm 13, that's insane. Like, she better not let me know.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be my kid. My 4-year-old son would sooner start smoking pot than my 12-year-old daughter.
Than your 12-year-old
daughter.
I don't
think it's going to happen. Oh, yeah.
All right. So if you catch
this is fun. It's fun to just go through the games. We also we have to do a bonus podcast at some point in the next 2 weeks. We got to introduce the cereal tournament. It's very important.
Okay. All right. We'll do that.
I got 32 boxes of cereal to buy.
Our next podcast could be live. I'm a week or in 5 days from now. I'm flying to your neck of the woods.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. And you're going to be there for through the holidays?
Yeah, let's actually talk about this strategically. We should probably do it off the air. But I think maybe week three, Sukkot, I will come to your house maybe Monday night right after the holiday ends to watch the games.
Oh yeah, fine. We'll go to maybe we'll go down to Morty's. We'll project them.
Vikings are playing Buffalo. Who are you guys playing in week three? Oh, you're playing Cleveland.
We're not
Thursday
playing,
night.
So we could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, the fun thing to what I did, by the way, just in case anybody's interested, is I watched the Jet game and then I watched the 1 o'clock red zone. I fast forward to the second half to like save myself 5 hours, and then I like found the Dolphins game and then that stopped and then I went to the 4 o'clock red zones. And then I did Sunday night, and then I did Monday night. It was a lot. It was like really a delight. Like it was like Netflix for football watching. It was on demand football watching. Imagine if you went to a coma and then you could just like binge the NFL season. I think that would be ideal. If you could tell me like I would go into a coma, my wife wouldn't be mad. She wouldn't find out that I like intentionally, voluntarily went to a coma. And then I come out and everyone feels bad. So like, oh, Akiva, you could do whatever you want for a few days. And I just like binged an entire NFL season with no spoilers. I'm sure you'd spoil something. You'd send me some dumb list or something. That's why. Like, I can't think of anything better in life than that. That's the ideal situation, a coma and then football watching.
When you're in the coma, are all your things available to be taken, or how does that work? Seinfeld style.
Should I make a will?
Well, but you know you're coming out of the coma, so, right?
Right, I know I'm coming out, so yeah, I would have to hide my stuff from vultures like you.
Yeah, yeah, well, I think Kramer said, didn't Kramer say it's the moment?
It is possible that, I mean, how long am I in this coma for, like a month? Like, has my wife moved on? I mean, she's already moved on, but like, she's moved on with another person.
Yeah.
If she does, God bless her. If someone wants to deal with her.
All right, go ahead. I will see you next week.
Bye.
Hungry for another day.